website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for jumping on, joining in the dialogue and discussion today. Looking forward to hearing from you. And lest I forget it, during the course of this broadcast, I'll repeat it several times. I am ready to do so, but sometimes I forget to do so. So that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today the perfect storm. The perfect storm. We're going to talk about what is happening with the hurricane, the aftermath of that. We're going to talk about what is taking place with the longshoremen and their strike and what that connotes for the voters and for the election. We're going to talk about the election and how we can have election integrity and how we can make sure that our election is done correctly. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean that it's going to be a perfect election by any stretch of the imagination, but it means that we need to have our, as one organization calls it, it is the Operation Eyeball. We need to have our eyes on the election and understand what is taking place. And most of all, we need to participate. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Give me a few moments for my monologue introducing where we're going. Then our telephone lines will be open. You're invited then to place your telephone call. Jump in on the discussion. We'll have a special guest that we'll interview today. He will be introduced in just a few minutes. And I pray that you'll stay tuned. Call others. Tell them to join in the dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, early this morning, on the early morning news, I watched a news presentation. They showed a clip from a newspaper. I don't know which major news outlet it was in the Northeast, but it was a major clip. And this was their headline statement. The Southeast is underwater. The Middle East is on fire. And the ports are closed. Where's the president? That's a pretty powerful summary of where we are globally. We'll talk about that. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not face issues based on denominational dogma, our political rhetoric, our philosophical jargon, but based on the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about the scripture, the word of God. John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, in the society in which we're living today, it mirrors what was said by the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that is precisely what is taking place today. You can listen to the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, BLM, Democratic Party, and you hear one half of truth. You can listen to others, and I'm not saying the Republicans are all pristine, but I'm simply wanting us to understand we live in a society today where there's a challenge to truth. It could be denominational truth. It could be truth theologically, doctrinally, biblically. It could be truth about the economy, truth about the election and what is taking place. But you'll have someone that will want to challenge truth. I've always said, ladies and gentlemen, I have truth as a whole lie. But I need for us to understand truth still matters, regardless of your position, regardless of what side of the aisle, as it is called today, that you may be sitting on. Truth still matters. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a powerful statement. DeMint, in a headline article, says he warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, Jim DeMint said this: what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even among our Christian churches. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the latest research shows that 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, they bifurcated in this fashion. They say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one truth. Jesus is that truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I challenge us with that statement today? I believe as never before, we need to stand on truth. There'll be those that'll mock at you, laugh at you, ridicule you, if you stand on truth. But remember, we're answerable to God and not to man. Remember that our responsibility is to be the watchman on the wall, warning of danger ahead. And there'll be those with blind eyes will say there's no danger, there's no problem. We see that with cackling Kamala. We see that with Sleepy Joe. We see that with much, if not most, of the socialist Marxist media. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we know that much of what is said today is not true. We need to stand on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions, ladies and gentlemen, about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291. That's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions. And there's a distinctive way to find Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the perfect storm is on the horizon. The perfect storm is before us. Ladies and gentlemen, I call it the perfect storm because when we look at the situation, the conditions that we're in today in America, and that writer was on target with his statement, the Southeast is underwater, the Middle East is on fire, and the ports are closed. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. We'll touch on it before we introduce our guest today in relationship to the big picture of where we are and why we need to be concerned as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in relationship to the integrity of the election. About 30 days away, ladies and gentlemen. But I want us to recognize and understand we're in trouble as a nation. Listen, this is one of the things that is just a little, how would you say, a little point of pun at this point. Look at the headline. Nashville pastor endorsement of Harris goes really, really bad. He said, I should have foreseen that. Pastor Ray Ortlund, O-R-T-L-U-N-D, of Emmanuel Church in Nashville, Tennessee, caught blankety-blank, this article says, over the weekend for endorsing Kamala Harris. Never Trump, this time Harris. Always Jesus, he wrote on his social media. The founder and executive director of the Center for Baptist Leadership wrote to the pastor, Russell Moore's pastor, is a quintessential Big Eva pastor, and now he's using the name of Christ to endorse a pro-abortion, pro-trans communist for office of president. That's what we see. This is the reason I said it's so important for us to know the truth, seek the truth, understand the truth, live the truth, love the truth, and defend the truth each and every day. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in the midst of what I call a perfect storm. Listen, about 30 days from now, the most consequential election in U.S. history will take place. We will make a determination on the destiny of America, whether it be a communist nation or a constitutional republic that we've been for so many years. But ladies and gentlemen, at this very moment, just think of the millions of citizens in Florida, Georgia, Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, that are now digging out of the aftermath of the disaster that took place. The disaster that took place, ladies and gentlemen, that destroyed about $100 billion in property, according to the statisticians on that, with upward of 200 people known dead, and yet hundreds still missing. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is this. Listen, how will these people, in the devastation, the communities that are wiped out, how will they be able to get out and vote? Have you considered that? How would they be able to cast a ballot? Will they even have an interest in casting a ballot in the next 30 days? Listen, a lot of the news focus, television focuses on the disasters in Tennessee and North Carolina, primarily in Asheville. But ladies and gentlemen, up and down the western seaboard, west coast of the state of Florida, and across Florida, southern Florida, one family, one general community that the individual talked about said 1,900 homes in his community had been wiped out. Very little is being said about that. Very little is being said about Cedar Key and other points of major disaster on the west coast of the state of Florida. Now, I don't have any problem with helping in North Carolina, helping in Tennessee, but I want us to understand this tragedy is in Florida and Georgia and Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and in Tennessee. But ladies and gentlemen, my question is still this. With hundreds of millions that's in devastation, how will they be able to vote? Is it possible that the Harris-Biden administration continues to ignore the needs of the people to suppress the vote in some fashion? I don't know. I'm just asking a hypothetical question. And later in the broadcast, we're going to devote the major portion of the broadcast with the interview of an individual that is looking out for and is talking about with his organization having what is called Operation Eyeball to question, to have citizens to be the watchman on the wall about the election. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in what I call a perfect storm. The election is upon us. There are millions that cannot get out and vote, perhaps. And Joe Biden, listen, Joe Biden canceled the Elon Musk Starlink satellite. I don't know if you know that or not. Elon Musk had provided the Starlink, his satellite, for emails and messages for communication. And Joe Biden canceled that. We're not allowed to be used. So you got people that's stranded in the jungles, if you will, in the mountains of North Carolina, Tennessee in particular, that cannot communicate. They cannot ask for help. They cannot be identified and found because of the internet being down. But the Democrats hate Elon Musk. And as a result of that, as spite, as they fight back to Elon Musk, because after he took over the Twitter, now called X, and exposed the communist Marxist party, the Democrats, of what they were doing in censorship, they hate him. But ladies and gentlemen, after he started the exposing of the censorship, they're trying to do everything they can to harm and hurt him rather than it being a helpful thing for the citizens. Each, ladies and gentlemen, the communication that people need to have with each other, there's no such thing. Ladies and gentlemen, considering the opening stages as we're in, listen, you've heard me say it on this broadcast before, when the opening stages of World War III, the Bible doesn't call it World War III, but Ezekiel 38 and 39 is talking about the war with Russia. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the ever-increasing involvement with the World War III. You see Ukraine, Russia, Syria, Iran, Israel, We would think that somehow, some way, that this alone is enough to destabilize our nation. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we have the longshoremen strike, stopping all shipping all along the eastern seaboard, all of the ports from Maine to Texas and California have been shut down. Now, I'm going to just kind of put this little tidbit in. Then we want to bring on our guest today. We'll invite him to answer a few of the questions about this, then get into his organizational structure for the integrity of our election. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're 30 days from the election. What will a longshoreman strike do? How will it affect the election? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, and it could be devastating, and I pray that it's not. I've got a five-page article. I'm going to read you headline in two brief paragraphs. Port strike could delay delivery of critical medications. We may be facing the most significant medical crisis since COVID, and almost no one is talking about it, according to the Fox Business News. Patients' access to critical medications may be threatened in the event of prolonged strikes of the port along the eastern Gulf Coast. Medication professionals are warning. Indeed, Americans could begin to see drug shortages within 5 to 7 days only after the port strike begins, and these delays are on top of existing supply chain challenges that are limiting access to many life-saving drugs that could threaten our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. It is a sad, sad shame that we have someone that would be this brazen. But ladies and gentlemen, the head of the Longshoremen's Union said this. Listen, he said, these people today do not know what a strike is like. My men, when they hit the streets, every port from Maine to Texas will lock down. Do you know what is going to happen? Listen, he says the first week, it'll be all over the news, night after night after night. The second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars. Cars are not coming in off the ships. Cars are not being imported. Third week, malls shut down. Stores shut down. They can't get goods. Shelves are empty. Can't sell clothes. Can't sell merchandise. All we get comes in on the ship. The stores go out of business, closing. Grocery store shelves are empty. Walmart's empty. Prescriptions cannot be gotten. And I made the little footnote on that. Chaos and calamity ensues. Ladies and gentlemen, the longshoremen are being praised by Kamala Harris. Praised by Kamala Harris for the shutting down and what they're doing. I'm looking at a headline. Kamala endorses dock worker strike that union bosses boasted would cripple all of America's economy. Vice President Kamala Harris sided Wednesday with dock workers who launched a massive strike this week that threatens to cripple all of the U.S. economy. This strike is about fairness, Kamala Harris said. The longshoremen, who play a vital role of transporting essential goods across America, listen to what she says. They deserve a fair share of the record profits of these businesses. That's a communist statement. A fair share. They're drawing wages more than most other people are getting. The head of the longshoremen got a salary of $728,000 last year, plus $173,000 as the president emeritus of the New Jersey local Democratic Party. This article says the strike snarls supply chains and is likely to cause delays, even shortages of products like coffee, bananas, cars, clothing, Christmas decorations, Christmas presents. The union rejected a last-minute deal from port ownership, who offered the union 50% wages increase. The union had demanded higher wages and zero port automation. Ladies and gentlemen, the dock workers donated $1.6 million to the Democrats this cycle. So who do you think is going to praise them? stand with them. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is when we see all of these things taking place, I'm calling it the perfect storm. And in that perfect storm, ladies and gentlemen, there's still an election, about 30 days. What can we do to ensure election integrity? 2016, Hillary Clinton said Trump stole the election. 2020, when Trump says that the election was stolen, Trump was persecuted and prosecuted. Now we're about 30 days away from 2024 election. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today that's going to address some of these issues. He's going to talk with us about what to expect and how we can participate with eyeballs on the election so that we can have the hope of election integrity. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my delight to introduce to you today our listening audience. Welcome to Paul Berran. That's B-E-R-A-N. Paul, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule with your election integrity organization to join with us in the dialogue and discussion today. Happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, you've taken my breath away in your monologue. I'm like, wow, how am I supposed to respond to all of that? But it's true. It's all that and more that we're facing here in America. And we've got an important decision to make that's really going to make or break our country. And it better be a good one. Now, from the standpoint of Operation Eyeball, I have to say we're a nonpartisan organization. And that's because we want fair and honest elections. No matter who is elected, we want to make sure it is the voice of the people and only the voice of the people. I was speaking to some fine folks at Virginia Beach a couple of weeks ago. And it was about 200 of them in an organized meeting. And I started out by saying that my wife had gone to vote last year. In fact, it was in the primary this year. And she scanned her document into the document scanner after she had filled in the squares. She asked the guy who attended the machine, "Can I get a receipt?" And he said, "Well, you voted. You know you voted. And now it's in the machine." And she says, "But I want to know that you know who I voted for, and not just that I voted. I want to make sure that it accurately represents what my vote was and for whom." And he said, "Well, we don't have anything like that." And she was very upset. But then he came back and said, "Well, we have the most accurate voting system on earth, and it's honest." And when I said that to the crowd, they groaned and moaned. I said, "Who here agrees with that?" "No, everyone." And it's so true that the people here in America, we get the feeling if we don't know for a fact that our elections are being rigged. We don't even have to take President Trump's word for it. We see so many things, so much evidence of it. And so many people who do see don't report, because they're afraid to. They don't want to get involved. "You know, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to speak up." And that's a problem, because that really makes them complicit with the rigging when they ignore it and pretend it's going to go away. And for those people who are actually committing the crimes, they in some way vindicate themselves as well. "You know, we've got to do the right thing, you know, to pick the right candidate, and our candidate's the right one." And that's wrong too, but they feel that they're doing the right thing. So we really have to, first of all, there's a whole lot more of us out there who are watching and saying, "Darn it, we want fair and honest elections, and that's what we demand. It's our constitutional right. It's our country is built on." But we have to speak up. We've got to let our voices be heard. We've got to tell those people who are counting the votes that we won't stand for this nonsense. This malfeasance has got to end, and it ends now. And if we don't do that, we welcome the rigging. We welcome the malfeasance, and we're not going to have honest elections, and we'll have more rigging as we go.
That's exactly,
I've got to say,
right.
It's been going on for a long time.
Paul, do you find it disconcerting when you hear, even today, Hillary Clinton casually sitting on the stage with a group of ladies or other people and talks about how the election was stolen, that Putin helped Trump win the election, et cetera, et cetera. And yet when, and that's all applauded by the socialist Marxist media, mm-hmm. but yet when Trump says something about the 2020 election was stolen, all of a sudden the earth comes shattering down that he said something yeah. dastardly wrong. Why is it, do you think, that even, I would say most of the elitist Republicans refuse to talk about the election of 2020 that was stolen. Why is that so? And while you're pondering that thought, I'm looking at a Jay Sekulow article, part of his mm-hmm. newsletter. It says, the threat right. to election integrity has never been greater than it is now, and voting has That's already right. begun. Border czar Kamala Harris' open border policies have led to fears of illegal immigrants voting, and the Biden-Harris administration threatened to veto a bill that would stop illegal immigrants from voting. The survival of our constitutional republic depends on the integrity of our elections. And that's exactly what Amen. You were just talking about. But why is it, do Amen. You think, that Republicans will not say, will not admit, will not talk about the stolen election of 2020? In fact, that was one of the questions, as you recall, in watching the vice presidential debate, when mm-hmm. the ones that were asking the questions, joining in the dialogue right. and discussion, asked the question, do you still believe or agree with Trump that the 2020 election was stolen? And even J.D. Vance tippy-toed around and didn't answer it directly. I'm screaming at the television, say yes, it was stolen.
yeah. Well, sadly, you know, in order for Trump and Vance to win, they're going to have to get more than 50% of the vote. That's just the economics, you know, it dictates that. So we have to make certain that we don't alienate anyone who possibly would vote for them for policy. And I completely understand his intended ambiguity in that regard, because he doesn't want to be canceled. You know, as soon as you say you're it was stolen, and then there's so many people who will stand up and yell back, like you yelled at the radio or TV. You know, other people would yell back and say, you know, you are a denier. You know, you're a liar, and so that you have to be a little intentionally ambiguous in order to not alienate everyone. But the fact is, there's so much evidence out there that was suppressed and not shown. And I believe I mentioned to you earlier, Doctor, that there's a couple of movies out there I truly recommend. And you, I believe you said you saw 2,000 Mules. And there's another one that's Let My People Go, that was produced actually in Washington, D.C., and paid for by Mike Lindell. It's a great movie, 2 hours long, and it shows all of the evidence that he accumulated about the 2020 election that it was simply not, he was not able to show it. He wanted to, and he was prevented from it. And it's because
he was prosecuted
so many
for saying it. He was prosecuted for saying it.
Yeah, right. So that's why so many people don't speak out, and they're afraid to. But, you know, they can't punish us all, right? Unless they win the election. So we've got to speak up in one big voice and say no, period.
Absolutely. Now, we got about a minute and a half before our top of the news break, top of the hour news break. But I'm going to read this headline. We're talking about the integrity of the election. Stolen election 2.0. Look at what we just discovered, and it's out of Wisconsin. Thousands of similar absentee ballots had no barcode on them, even though Madison city officials said that the duplicate ballots did not have the barcodes. The article further says Madison clerk's office told her that the fake votes could not be turned in because their barcodes were the same. Tiffany's post came a day after he called for a review after Madison officials said that 2,215 extra votes were sent out about 10 wards for voting. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. And that's the reason it's going to be so vital for us to continue this discussion in relationship to how our listeners can become involved, how the listeners can recognize that we the people, we the voters, need to be, as you call in your organization, eyeballs, Operation Eyeballs, that we're watching what is taking place. And right after the top of the hour news poll, we want to get into the details about your operation, about your organization, how people can get involved and what you're doing, and how we can preserve the integrity possibility of this election. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilove.org.